Well, good morning again, and glad to see you all here today. And we've got some new friends, we've got some old friends visiting, and we're just glad you're here. We're celebrating something very special today. We decided to dedicate today to be kind of a youth celebration Sunday. We want to take the opportunity to just celebrate the youth of our church, but as well to celebrate the youth around the world, especially when we think about, and we thought this would be a good time to do this because, you know, as summer's ending, we're starting up next couple of weeks here with the new school year. Last night, Life and Quench had a barbecue with the New Beginnings Baptist Church Youth Group, which is the church that is currently renting our present church site. So how was the barbecue, guys? It was all good?
Amazing,
good food. I hear there was 9 pounds of chicken wings last night. And so poor chickens. Okay, at this point, we also want to celebrate with some of our young people who just graduated from high school. So I'd like to invite Hazel Wong and Celine Ho, and where is Rebecca Yu?
Young.
Rebecca Young's not here. Okay, so Hazel and Celine, come on up. All right, so our gift to you today is a book by Jim Simula, Living Abundantly Through God's Blessings. So we hope that as you enter into your new life, I guess you guys are going to university in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are you guys going to be going?
UBC?
SFU. Okay, there you go. All right, well, I guess then you'll enjoy this $10 gift card from Tim Hortons as well, because you're going to be living in coffee for a while, so... Trust me, that's what got me through 4 years of university. Coffee, good.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right,
thank
there you go.
Thank
you very much. Congratulations. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I'd like to just take this opportunity as well. Just I just want to thank the youth of this church, of our congregation. I know we have quite a number of youth. And, you know, they're all amazing, amazing people. They're involved in so many different things, involved in so many areas. You know, for example, areas like worship, you know, probably wouldn't happen if we didn't have some dedicated youth with some really good musical skills. And we just want to just appreciate them today. So this, as much as, you know, this much as a celebration, it's also a recognition of what the youth in our church do today. And, I just, you know, for everyone here, you know, take the time to just appreciate one another and just encourage our youth today. So as I said this morning, we're going to take this opportunity to celebrate youth, to acknowledge our youth. And, you know, recently the UN had a International Youth Day. Did you guys hear about it? Anyone? Yes, maybe?
Yes?
Okay. Good. I'm glad some of us heard International Youth Day. So basically, it's a day that's been going on for the last, I believe now, 9 years now. I think it started in 2001, I believe. Or was it 2000? I can't remember now. But anyway, but basically, it's a day that the UN, United Nations, sets aside to celebrate and to acknowledge the youth of the world. And they hold together... they hold events and they hold forums, and they have different themes for each year, and they encourage the youth from different parts of the world to come and to participate in what goes on at the United Nations. But also, really what it is a time for the youth to be able to express and to basically talk with some of these world leaders and to share their concerns, What is it that they see around the world that they would like to change or to impact? And so I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, I mean, if the United Nations, being the big organization that it is doing something like this, how much more so should it be that the church should also be celebrating our youth? That we also, as a church, need to be sitting down with our young people and hearing their concerns, hearing what is it that they feel that needs to be changed, maybe in the church, maybe in the way you know, the faith is shared and lived out, maybe how you know, their faith encourages them to move forward and have an eternal purpose. Because, I mean, when you think about it, the UN approaches things from a humanistic point of view. They want to be able to make this world a better place. They want us all to live happy together in peace and all that good stuff. And that's great. You know, we applaud the United Nations for putting this agenda forward. But wouldn't you think even more so that as the church, as the people of God, that we have this call, we have this opportunity to raise up leaders, young leaders who will eventually become possibly the presidents and the prime ministers and the CEOs of the world in 10 or 20 years' time. These are the young people that will be shaping what we will be living in the next, like I said, 20, 25 years. And the thing is that we have this opportunity to instill, again, not just a temporary focus, but truly have one that inspires them to have an eternal focus. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, the title of my message, it's okay. It wasn't the best title I came up with, but basically the whole idea of a chosen generation. You know, we're living in a time, from what I understand, all the youth experts, if you want to call them youth experts, sociologists, whatever, they call this time. This is the world, apparently, at this particular point in time, is populated, I believe, last statistics say, something like 80% of the world is youth. Think about that for a minute. There's a lot of young people on Earth right now. And youth is categorized as anyone between the ages of 15 to 24. So if you're over 24, sorry, you're not young anymore. I guess so. I guess I must be Jurassic, I guess. I don't know. But anyhow, the whole idea is that, yeah, there's a lot of young people in the world. I mean, we may not see that here in North America. Especially in Canada, you constantly hear things about how, you know, we're having an aging population and, you know, we're not producing enough babies and there's not enough young people in the world, da-da-da-da-da. And yet, really, when you look at the rest of the world, places like Asia, South America, Africa, it's mostly young people. All the adults have pretty much, you know, like in Africa, for example, a good portion of the adults have died, mostly because of either wars, famine, AIDS, you have it. And so as a result, there's a lot of young people in Africa. So what are we as a church, what are we as God's people called to do? How do we inspire? How do we motivate? How do we encourage young people to go and dream big dreams, to reach out, to go and have these opportunities to basically make a difference, but not a difference that is only, like I said, on the present, but truly a difference that has an eternal perspective, eternal consequence. So this morning, I'll be sharing a little bit from the book of Daniel. So if you turn with me, in particular, we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 9, okay? And so this is in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles with you today, please turn to Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to be reading here from verse 1, okay? In fact, I'm probably going to read most of it, so this is how it's going to go. Daniel's prayer. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I pray to the Lord my God and confess, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us, because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. And therefore the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. And yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. And yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who has brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have made by yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, and have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of our servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people hear your name. This is a powerful prayer. How often do we pray like this? Sometimes I find myself, you know, when I pray, I really just pray a few things, but I mean, this is an awesome prayer. If you ever want to grow in your prayer ability or prayer skill, or prayer discipline, I encourage you, read through the prayers of the Bible, see how others have prayed to God, and that way you can also develop the discipline. But the point of this whole passage is this. You know, Daniel is coming before the Lord and he is seeking him. He's confessing. What's really interesting is he's coming before the Lord to pray not for himself, but for his people, for his country, for his nation, for his city. And as I said before, you know, the title of this message was A Chosen Generation. We live in a time and a place now where, as I said before, most of the world is pretty much youth. But this generation also is a youth that are very computer savvy, right? Yeah, you're computer savvy, right, Benny? Yeah, you're computer savvy. You're on MSN all the time. Oh, no, they don't do MSN anymore. What do they do now? Twitter or something? I don't know.
Like old
I'm old school. Okay, fine. Who tweets around here? Anybody tweets? Nobody? Yeah? Yeah, we got Leon. He tweets. Yeah, tweets. Okay, anyhow, I don't tweet, so sorry. Anyhow, but this is a generation that has you know, loads of internet savvy. They know how to use computers. They know how to access information. You know, they do social networking, things like that. This is also a generation where mobility is like so accessible. This is a very mobile generation. They can pretty much go anywhere in the world, anytime, any place. And, you know, so you got that opportunity as well. This is also a generation of youth that for the first time in a very long time are very focused. Okay, admittedly, most youth, when we're teens, we tend to kind of focus on ourselves. I admit it, you know, I do it too. I did it too when I was a teen. But this is a generation where they're really seeking to ask about meaning and purpose and how they can live out their lives to make a real difference in the world. And yes, we hear statistics, we hear situations where, you know, a lot of youth have lost sight. They have no meaning. They have no purpose. They think that all that life is this current life that we have in our body, and then when we die, that's it. But there's also a generation within this group, or a group within this generation, that truly do seek out opportunities to serve humanity, to impact the world as it stands with poverty and things like that. It's amazing how they're talking about how short-term missions trips in the last decade among youth have, I think, exponentially increased. You know, it used to be a couple of years ago, you only send, I think, something like a couple of thousand youth a year, and now they're talking like into the tens of thousands. So lots of youth, especially in Christian churches, they do go overseas a lot or other places in the world. And some don't even serve with, Christian organizations. They serve with, other non-Christian organizations that are doing positive humanitarian work. So as I said before, you've got highly educated, highly motivated, highly mobile youth in this current generation. And they want to do something. They want to make a difference, right? All the youth here, that's what you guys want to do, right? You guys want to go make a difference. You know what's really cool? I was at my dentist the other day, and it's interesting. You can actually have conversations with your dentist while they're sticking something in your mouth. You're really not doing a lot more talking. You're just doing a lot more listening, which is fine. So we're talking, as I said, talking, and she's poking my mouth, and discover that she's got a daughter, right? Because we start talking about children and that kind of thing, and how this dentist of mine, she's looking so forward to seeing her daughter again. I said, "Oh, how come?" I said, "Where's your daughter?" "My daughter's in Hawaii." I'm like, "Oh, Hawaii, cool, all right." "And how long has she been in Hawaii?" "Oh, 1 year." So instantly I'm thinking, "Oh, she went to the YWAM camp." There's a YWAM, Youth with a Mission University. If you didn't know that, there is a Youth with a Mission University where young people can go, actually not just young people, actually anyone can go, but they do focus on young people. And you can spend a whole year there, and basically you grow in your faith, you do studies, like actual university courses. You actually do university courses from what I understand. And you're just in this environment of discipleship. That's truly what this YWAM university is all about. So I asked her, I said, "Oh, so is your daughter at this place?" And she said, "No, she didn't." I said, she went there a couple of years ago, but she didn't. And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I said, "What's she doing in Hawaii?" "Oh, she's joined this nonprofit, nonprofit Christian organization called something like Surfers, Changing the World with Surfers, or something like that. Something to do with surfing. That's all I remember. Okay? I'm thinking surfer dudes are going out and changing the world. That is awesome. And that's what these guys are. This whole ministry is a ministry that was set up by a whole bunch of surfers. You know surfers? Surfers? Yeah, okay. All right, good. Because everyone's looking at me like, "What's surfing?" Right, okay, so surfers, okay, we got surfers, and they're going out there, and they're going to the beaches of, Maui, what are some of the other big, Waikiki, things like that. And I said, "Well, what is she doing there?" "Oh, she's, we're out there, we're ministering, we're sharing the gospel, we're giving people food, we're just, just meeting people's needs." And I said, "Well, that's amazing, when you think about the fact that, you think Hawaii, what do you think?" Beach. Sorry? Yeah. All-inclusive resorts. Who doesn't like all-inclusive resorts? Anyhow, and so she goes to this place, and I was really shocked, because I was like, you never really would think it, that there would be, problems of poverty and hunger and homelessness and things like that on the beaches of Hawaii. But that's what this group is doing, and I just think that's great. God loves youth. Do you think God loves youth? Yeah? Now, for you older folks who are not 20 under the 24 category, 24 and under category, youth is just, a state of mind. This is a state of mind, okay? So no worries. This message may feel like it's geared towards youth, but trust me, by the time we're done, this is a message that will speak to you as well. Anyhow, Where was I going with this? What did I say the last thing? Not surfing. State of mind, youth. You know what? I had the thought. I lost the thought. Oh yeah, God loves youth. That's what it was. God loves youth. Okay, God loves young people. I mean, if you read through the Bible, yeah, we get Moses who's like 800. We got Noah who's got 900. No, not Moses is like 120. Sorry, Moses 120. Noah's like 800. Now lots of figures in the Bible who are older, and that's fine. But we also have a lot of scripture, a lot of characters that are younger, much, much younger. We got people like Esther, you got people like David, Mary, Timothy. These are all young people that were able, that just were so filled with their love for God, so faithful to Him, that God used them in a miraculous way to impact not just what was happening in their immediate world, but turned out being, you know, an influence that impacted the greater world today. And so we talk about Daniel before. So as I said, we were reading from Daniel chapter 9, which is this prayer of Daniel. But just to put it in context, all of us here, most of us here, have probably grown up with the story of Daniel and his three buddies, right? That's right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Alrighty, good style, Rakshak and Benny. Who's seen that one? VeggieTales! Okay, if you haven't seen Rakshak and Benny, go rent Rakshak and Benny right now. Anyhow, you know the story. You got Daniel, you got his three buddies. They're young people. They got shipped off to Babylon because the king of Babylon wants to just grab the best people he can, train them up, and help them to basically help him to run his country, basically. And they end up having to learn new cultures, learn how to eat differently, learn how to dress differently, whatever it is, just to basically assimilate into this new culture. But then you get Daniel and his three buddies, and they're not followers. They don't want to just hang around and just be converted into the new state of order. Basically, they're saying, no, man, we want to stay close to God. We want to be faithful to the God of Israel. We want to be faithful to our God, Yahweh. And so when the things that needed to where they needed to stand up for God, they stood up for God. And so we read through the stories in the first chapter 1 and on it goes. It talks about how King Nebuchadnezzar has some bad dreams. He asks his people to basically interpret the dreams. And, you know, people can't, his magicians can't do it. So Daniel comes and he says, yeah, I can do it. He ends up interpreting the dream. And as a result, him and his three friends end up being elevated into a system of into government positions. Later on, some of the other government people, as well as the sorcerers and things like that, they don't like Daniel and his company, so they come up with this ruse and something about how they can't bow to other gods except, you know, the god of Babylon. And these ministers and things like that, they catch Daniel and his three buddies, and they are praying, and they say, oh, you guys broke the law. You guys now have to go and meet the lion's den. King Nebuchadnezzar and his buddies, they're like, no, we can't do that. But it ends up happening. But Daniel prays, and as a result, the lions don't eat him alive, and, you know, they carry on. But one of the interesting things that I want to just point out today, and there's basically just two main ideas here. I want to talk about the power of a dream, and I want to talk about seeking God about our dreams. You know, when King Nebuchadnezzar gets these dreams, and again, you can read these chapters, read the account in the earlier chapters. When Nebuchadnezzar gets these dreams, he is, you know, horrified, full of anxiety, trying to understand what his dreams mean. And again, you know, in ancient Near Eastern history and culture and spirituality, a lot of emphasis was placed on dreams and visions and things like that. Because it was a belief that when you got a vision or a dream, it often came from a god. It became a message that you had to learn and interpret and then, you know, govern accordingly. Here was a dream that he couldn't understand. And in the end, as I said, he ended up seeking out Daniel, and Daniel was able to interpret, which turns out to be a good thing, because when Daniel interprets the story, it talks about how the nation of Babylon was going to go through a couple of series of famines and wars, and as a result, King Nebuchadnezzar was able to avoid those or prepare for those situations, and the kingdom of Babylon managed to carry on. But the point is this, the power of a dream. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar really truly believed in this thing. In fact, as I said, he was so anxious about it, fearful about it. And I asked us to think about this for a minute, the power of a dream. Now, I'm not talking about here today about daydreams. I'm not talking about nightmares, okay? We're not talking about those kinds of dreams. And I really don't really put a lot of stock into people who govern their, or run their lives by these visions of whatever it is. We're not going down that track. But truly what I'm talking about here is about, when I say dreams, I want to talk about visions of what could be, visions of what God has placed in our hearts, visions of what you may see, what you may have as you look around the world around you, and you say, you know, that could be better, or we could do something about that. And so this whole idea about the power of dreams, you know, it's funny to talk about the power of dreams, right? Because we're like, you know, people who dream, they're just dreaming all the time. They're not on earth. They're not really here. They're not with us. There's no practical application. And yet, to be honest, actually that's not true. It was the power of a dream that basically put a man on the moon. It was the power, and this power of a dream, that through this putting a man on the moon, ended up actually pulling together a country that was going through a deep time of political chaos. It was the power of a dream that allowed us to be able to connect with our friends anywhere in the world today. Okay? It's the power of a dream because it was that idea to be able to basically link the world together through satellites and things like that to do what? To share the gospel to places where the gospel couldn't go. And so that's why we have these telecommunication systems. It's these things that allow us, these dreams, these guys, these men and women who came up with these ideas because they saw a vision of something bigger and grander. Even when everyone looked at them and said, you're nuts. You're never going to put a man on the moon. You're never going to be able to communicate with the whole wide world. And in fact, I bet you this morning you never really thought about this. The fact that you drove to church today, or most of us who have parents or can drive, the fact that you're able to drive to church today was because of a power of a dream. Think about it for a minute. If it weren't for Ford, who came up with the assembly line and things like that, none of us would have the ability to drive. In fact, the ability to create an automotive car was designed in such a way it was to allow people to go and experience the world around them. That's one of the reasons the car was invented. Of course, 100 years later, the car is what's going to be destroying the world too, but okay, the hindsight is 2020, okay? So anyhow, the point here is the power of a dream. You know, it's important to have this dream, and I think, you know, the Bible here, you know, we see visions and dreams that God uses to inspire us, to inspire His people of what could be. Things that could be better. And this, again, doesn't just apply to young people. It applies to all of us here as adults as well. You know, adults today, you had a dream for your life once, right? You had a dream for what you want to do. You had a dream for what you could have done or would like to have done. We all have dreams. Every single one of us here today. Some of us still have those dreams and hold on to those dreams, hoping that someday those dreams will come true. Hopefully, maybe these dreams will motivate us towards achieving those things. But what happened? What happened to the power of the dream? Did we lose it somehow? Did we lose it because maybe things got in the way? Maybe other people told us, you know, you can't do it. Sorry. Maybe someone said to you, you know, it's just a fanciful idea. It's never going to happen. My encouragement to you today, start believing again in the power of the dream. We all need dreams. You know, as I was talking about how the UN had this theme this year for each International Youth Day. And the idea this year was sustainability. And they were asking the youth who came, how could we envision a better life, a better sustainable life for you and your generations to come? And they encouraged them to dream and to dream big. And so then we come to this second thought I have today, seeking God about our dreams. You know, we have Daniel here. Daniel interprets dreams. Daniel doesn't have dreams, correct? Actually, that's not right. Daniel does have dreams. He does have, as you read through some of the earlier chapters or later chapters, Daniel does have his own dreams. He has different visions that come to him as well. And these visions all have to do mostly with the different cultures and the political makeup of the time. And so we then have this dream that he has about the future of Jerusalem. And it scares him a lot. It scares him a lot because he's like, wow, what's going to happen to my people, to the future that God has promised us? What's going to happen? And then he comes before God. He seeks him. He goes through scripture. He takes the dream. He goes before God. He says, God, you know, I have this dream you've placed in my heart. It's one that's really scaring me right now. But at the same time, the scriptures reveal that this is going to happen because our people have failed you. Our people have sinned against you. Restore us. Have mercy on us, please. See, when we have these dreams, when we start to believe in the power of a dream, and we start going for those dreams, then we say to ourselves, where's God in all this? You know, do we even stop and say, where is God in all this? Maybe we don't even want to give those grand dreams and visions and big dreams to God, because we say, if we give it to God, he's going to take it, he's going to change it, and man, I might not like it after the fact. You know, maybe some of us have a dream here today to go maybe be a missionary or something. I don't know. You know, God's calling you someplace. And then you say, and God said, well, you know, maybe, sorry, you're not going to be a missionary to the world, but you're going to be a missionary where you are. Oh, nuts. You know, I mean, some people have these kind of reactions. I don't know if that's happened to you or not. But there is this innate fear, perhaps, that we believe that these dreams are ours. These dreams began with us. And yet, in actual fact, is if you're walking with God, if you're faithful with him, and you're seeking it, you have your eyes open, and you ask him to give you a vision and a dream for what could be and what could be better, that vision didn't come from you. It came from God in the first place. And when you go back to him, and you hand it back to him, you're saying, God, you know, thank you for this vision. Thank you for this dream. You're basically acknowledging that it was he who gave you that dream in the first place. And now you're coming back to him, and he's so pleased that you're coming back to him. Because now he knows that you are being humble, being faithful. You'll trust him, and he'll take that dream, and he'll make it 10 times better than what you've imagined. Do we believe that today? Do we believe in the power of a dream? Do we believe in coming to God with that dream, believing that he will use that, use our humility, use our faithfulness, and make that dream bigger than what it was before? That's what happened with Daniel. He had this dream. He came before God. He pleaded before God, and in the end, the nation of Israel, yes, it did go through its tough times. Yes, it was, God, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. But in the end, what ended up happening was an even greater dream that happened that not only brought about salvation of the people of Israel, but it also brought salvation to the people of the world and the Gentiles around the world. And so for us today, how do we as a church, encourage and develop our youth? I want us today as adults and leaders and counselors, encourage our youth today. Encourage them to dream big dreams. You know, maybe you had a dream once and it didn't work out for you, but that's okay. You know, don't let that bitterness continue in your heart, but rather look at a young person and say, you know what, you have an opportunity. Have that dream. Take that dream. Run with it. Go for it. You know, young people today, they need mentors. They need people who believe in them and the dreams that God has placed in their hearts. You know, young people need us to, as adults, to teach them what to do when the dreams fail and how to pick themselves up if it didn't work out. You know, essentially, youth need examples of Christ in their lives. People who have walked with God, are faithful with God, has been faithful to God, even through the good times and the bad times. And as I said before, young people today need people who are adults or mentors or leaders or counselors to encourage them to dream big dreams for God. For our youth today, this is my one statement I want to encourage you. If you desire change today, if you desire for a better way to do things, then believe in the power of the dream. Don't let it go. And then seek God with that dream when you have it, because He'll multiply your dream many more times than you imagined it. Amen? All right. Let's pray, and I think Kids Church is waiting to come in. Father God, we thank you again for this morning. Father God, we thank you for just the youth of our church today, the young people that you've raised up here at Pacific Grace. And Lord, we just pray for them today that you would continue to guide them, mold them, shape them into the young men or women that you want them to be. Father God, today we look at the example of Daniel, one who was an interpreter of dreams, but also one who had dreams and visions given by you. Father God, today we pray for dreams and visions for our young people today. Give them a dream for this world, for the place that they live in, for the communities that they live in and are part in, at school, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Help them to see how they can make an impact, how they can make a change to the world around them. And Lord, again, as I said, help them to believe that in this dream. Help them to believe in the power of that dream. But Father God, I also pray that they would be humble enough in their hearts to come before you and give that dream back to you, because it came from you in the first place. And Father God, how because of that humility, you will just use that dream and just expand it multiple times over. For some of our older congregation today, older members today, older attenders today, you know, you've placed dreams in our hearts as well. And I pray, Father God, that you, as you encourage us to encourage our youth, that you would encourage us in our dreams as well. You've given us as well visions and dreams of how we can make a difference and live with purpose and have greater meaning. So, Father God, let us not give up on those dreams that perhaps we got when we were young. But even now, we pray that we will still have the courage and the boldness to take up those dreams and visions for you and make a lasting difference for eternity. We thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Okay. All right, at this point, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as Kids Church comes in. And I'd like to receive the offering this morning. As is the tradition of the church, the offering that we take are for members of our church only. If you're visiting today, this is an act of humility that we do. Please don't feel pressured to participate. But I'd like to now pray for the offering, and then we'll carry on. Father God, we thank you again for today. We thank you for this time that we can offer back to you what you've blessed us with this week. May it be used again for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.